Hallelujah, hallelujah. Everybody, good to see all of our guests here tonight. We appreciate you being in church with us. Hallelujah. We want you to leave, hallelujah, with treasure in your heart, with something good that God has given you. In the house of the righteous is much treasure. We thank God for the treasure that's in his house. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want us to stand tonight for the reading of the word of the Lord. Exodus chapter 21 and verse 22. Exodus chapter 21 and verse 22. Hallelujah. If men strive and hurt a man with child or a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow. In other words, if there's a man that's striving in some kind of argument or situation and hurts a woman with child, that her fruit depart from her, or she has the baby, and yet no mischief follow. That means there is no injury. He shall surely be punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Hallelujah. It's one thing for, hallelujah, a woman to be hurt and a child to be born but yet not injured. Hallelujah, there is something to pay for that, but not near as drastic as if mischief follow.
Right, right.
Then it is life for life. Hallelujah, if you cause the death in a newborn baby, it's born dead, then it's life for life. If there's some type of injury, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and goes on to describe hand for hand and foot for foot, burning for burning, and wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. We ask you to touch us tonight, God, and help us tonight, Lord. Pray that you would speak through me tonight, God, and help me, God, to do beyond what I'm capable of doing, Lord. In Jesus' name, we love you, God, and we praise you, God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, we pray. God bless you, and you can be seated. The subject of abortion has been, over many years, a very emotional thing. It's 44 years since it was made legal, and it's been a controversial subject in the political arena, and it looks like in so many ways that is right has been lost. And the more we go down this road, if we're not careful, the more insensitive we get to the fact of what's happening in our world. And both sides have been very argumentative and have been very vocal about their feelings and their interests and concern with the destiny of the unborn. A woman who proclaims themselves pro-choice. Actually, that means pro-abortion. Is quick to loudly voice their right to do with, they claim their own body. It's not their own body. There's two bodies involved in this, the body of the mother and the body of the child that's being born. But they talk about always they have the right to do with their body what they want to do. There's another voice that cries out in behalf of the child. And then there's a third voice that is never allowed to be heard. And this voice, which never receives this opportunity to speak, is the unborn child.
Right.
I want the Lord to help me tonight to speak to you. I don't know what all the past is in people's lives here tonight. I do know that there's been a brainwashing for several generations now that has desensitized in a lot of people's hearts and lives what is taking place in our world. It's a horrible thing. Several years ago, my wife and I went to a college close to San Luis Obispo in California. They were showing a film of actual abortion. And we stood there and watched that. It was a horrifying thing to witness on film the showing of an abortion. The title of the film was called The Silent Cry. And it showed a baby that was in the womb, and you could see the child and the abortionist that was there. We never saw their face, but we saw the needle of the abortionist quite long, quite lengthy, and we watched as that needle, that killing needle, entered into the womb of the mother and was gouging around in different areas of that unborn baby's body to try to find the best place to inject the killing fluid. It was amazing to watch and see that each time that he poked, trying to find the best spot, that this child would pull over to the side, and it was like the child was trying to find a hiding place from what was taking place. It was so horrifying. And finally, the needle found its way home to the desired target and was emptied. And as it was emptied and the burning inside the little body of that unborn child was unbelievable, the child began to go into convulsions and turn like this backwards. And then in its crying, dying moment, it opens its mouth. It was easy to see what the child would have been doing if he was outside the womb. It was a scream, but it was a silent scream. It was a silent scream that America and the world, much of the world and much of America, has failed to hear. I've not actually come to preach about the subject of abortion tonight, but in passing, let me make just a few statements concerning this horrible crime. I still call it a crime. Horrible crime being connected with America and the whole world. Against our unborn children, there's terrible things that are happening that Hitler and some of the vilest men that have ever lived upon this planet would not be as bloody and unfeeling. It has been often said in years past that in God's wisdom of making a woman the way she ought to be, a woman and her womb is the safest place on earth for her baby to be living and eventually to be born. That God created a woman that when she is pregnant, hallelujah, and that baby is in fluid, hallelujah, that she is in the safest place on earth. Hallelujah. Tragic accidents take place at times where adults lose their life. Many times unborn baby in the womb of a mother will survive the trauma and the terrible accident, because in God's wisdom, God wanted to protect the unborn. It seems like there's been a total turnaround since the day that the safest place for an unborn child was in the womb of its mother. And now it has become the most dangerous place on earth for a child in America and the nations of our world to be in resident in that womb waiting to be born. The most dangerous place on earth for a child is in the womb. In the womb. It is hard to believe how many people have been aborted. You can look on the internet just like I did again tonight. I had this on my mind last week, and the numbers have accelerated. They are accelerating so quickly. Looks like less than one a second in our world is being aborted. China has aborted on an average annually of 23 million babies. Some of this is because of their limitations on having just one child. It has now recently been allowed to have two children, but in times past and for all these years, it has been one child. And the Chinese have desired and coveted to have a male child. As a result of this, with all these ladies that claim they support abortion, it is really such a terrible crime against baby girls that most of the 23 million girl babies that are to be born, they die because they are aborted. In China, 336 million abortions since 1971. It is said that an eagle's egg is more protected and has more governmental protection than an unborn child. I saw a bumper sticker one time that said, save a whale, be a hero. Abort a child and go to jail. Or save a child, I'm sorry. Save a baby and go to jail. I looked on the computer right before I came into the service. Since 1980, worldwide, 1,454,061,407 children, and it's counting right now, has been aborted. 1 billion with a B. How many is in the earth today? 7 billion? 1,454,000,000 has been aborted since 1980. The population of the United States is 309 million. Compare 309 million to 1.5 billion. How many times could the U.S. be repopulated by babies that have been aborted? I think it's something like five times. Five times the whole population of the United States. Hallelujah. So we live in perilous times. We live in dark times. We live in times when people have no sense of conviction of what is right and what is wrong, and what destruction is working even right now in the United States of America. Let me see if I've got what I had a paper written off Anyway, basically what it was telling the reason why abortions take place, why women are aborting their children. 0.5%, a half of 1% of abortions that take place because of rape. I do remember that. And then there's a string of other reasons. These are the things that mothers have said, like, I was not ready to have a child. Or, I'm through having babies. These were the high percentage women that the only excuse they could have is, it would ruin my career. And on and on and on. And there was not one skin of an excuse for aborting a baby that was worth anything when you was looking at the thousands and the millions and women that allow this to take place. They tell how that they hide the woman where she doesn't see anything that's going on. They put her in a place where she never sees the baby. Hallelujah. We're living in a sad, sad world. A sad, sad world. And so, in God's divine plan, the law of life is guarded. I want to tell you, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of each and every one of us, he is very careful to defend the law of life for our world. In reading the Bible, there is a special interest in blood that we can find. In Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, the Bible tells us that the life is in the blood. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible tells us that the voice of Abel cried out, the blood cried out, when Cain destroyed the life of his brother. In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, Jesus or God tells Noah of the murderer. Noah speaks of murders, and God tells him, I'm going to require of you his blood if you don't take care of the murderer. God gave many laws in guarding life of man and of beast. Even accidental life, where an ox would gore a man to death. And there were penalties that had to be paid. Hallelujah. If a ox was known to gore and he was not put in a pen somewhere and restrained, and that ox got out after he was known to be an ox that gores, then not only would the oxen die, but the individual that was so careless that let this animal out of the pen and it gored somebody to death, they would lose their life, because it was life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hallelujah, wound for wound, and that was the way it operated. There were cities of refuge where a man could run and get a fair chance, possibly, of saving himself if it was an accidental death. And there were places of refuge and protection. All these laws show us that God desires for life to be preserved. God thinks that life is very sacred, and that for a man to take another man's life, he forfeits his reason and his excuse to live. And so in these laws that also contain the law of the unborn, I read about it when we began this discourse tonight. It was speaking about a child that is involved in some type of tussle or fight, and the mother gets injured. And if there is not a lasting injury to the child, then there will be a price to be paid for the trouble. But if for some reason that child is aborted and it dies early because of the actions of another individual, whether it be a woman or a man, then that individual would be forced to die. They would be put to death because they had shed innocent blood.
Hallelujah. God in his wisdom is saying here, I'm not going to overlook the unborn. I'm not going to overlook he that has no place in society yet. I'm not going to overlook the one that has no voice to cry and to intercede. Hallelujah. I'm going to be watching, and I'm not going to give place, hallelujah, in society for this thing to happen. Hallelujah. It's going to be a guard. It's going to be a law, rather, to guard life. And so God saw it that those that didn't request the right of the unborn, those that did not regard, rather, the right of the unborn to be born, and if they punished and killed a child, hallelujah, then it was life for life, eye for an eye, and tooth for tooth. And so I'm not really preaching about abortion tonight. It is one of the worst tragedies, if not the worst tragedy, that our society is experiencing as far as human life and terrible things against each other's person. But tonight, I want to just talk a little bit about something that is even more serious than the death of the unborn, the silencing of the voice of the unborn. And that is the seriousness, hallelujah, in the eyes of God of unborn saints and souls that God has got his hand upon. Hallelujah. Souls that are eternal. I believe that the house of God is the mother of the Lord. I'm not talking about this physical building, but I'm talking about, hallelujah, the people that are here today that make up the body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are responsible for those that try to come in and those that are in the process of being converted and convinced and those that God has a plan for their life and salvation is waiting on them and they're in the process of seeking after the Lord and getting this new birth experience and being born again of water and of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Unborn spiritual children sometimes hang in the balance of the womb of the church. Sometimes they get so close to being born and we think it at any time it's going to take place. Hallelujah. Sometimes they get very close to being born and yet the right chemistry is not there and the right skillful hands are not there to bring about a safe delivery. I believe in every healthy church there ought to be a revival in the womb of that church. Hallelujah. A man by the name of Verbal Bean made this statement. At minimum, hallelujah, there ought to be one child in the womb of every saint of God at any given time. Hallelujah. I believe that when God created us and made us and then we were born again of the water and of the Spirit, I believe that God put within us the ability to bring about life. And I believe it is the will of the Lord that we have children born into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It means that we ought to be reproducing. It means that we ought to be having an effect on those that are around us. Hallelujah. That are not quite here yet. They're in the process of being born. Hallelujah. One foolish statement, one careless thought, one mishandlement of things can cause those that are so close to being born to be aborted and never survive and get in the church. God help us tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's a parable of the talents that talk about three individuals that were given talents. One was given five talents, one was given two talents, one was given one. Each of them were expected to reproduce. Hallelujah. The master told them when he gave them the various number of talents, I want you to go out and I want you to put this treasure that I've given you into the hands of the exchangers. And I want there to be produce and I want there to be growth. I want there to be a income coming in. I want there to be something worth my investment coming back to me. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says the man man that had the five talents. Hallelujah, that he went in the marketplace and he poured his heart out and his energies out and trying to do what the master had asked him to do. When it was all said and done, the one that had five came to his master and said, "Now I do not have only five, but I have 10. I have doubled that I was given." Hallelujah. The individual with the two talents came back and said, "I have taken this and I have put it in the market and I have worked at growth and productivity and I had two vessels, but now I've got four rather talents." And then the one man with the one talent, hallelujah, when he was faced, it was like he was trying to hide everything. In fact, he had hid the one talent that was given to him. And the master said, "What in the world are you doing here? Hallelujah, what has happened here? You've had this one talent and you've buried it in the ground and you haven't taken care of it. And there's been no produce brought about. There's been no advantage. There's been no reproduction." And he tells this with the one talent, "I'm going to take that talent away from you and I'm going to give it to the man that had the five." Hallelujah. And he was rebuked and he was cast out. Hallelujah. I wonder if that tells us a story of what ought to be going on in the Pentecostal church. Should we be satisfied to just warm the pew and feel comfortable and not have any demanding things given to us that we need to do? Hallelujah. Are we willing to sit here with apostolic truth and the greatest, hallelujah, apostolic church that I've ever known? Hallelujah. Not come with the realization that it ought to be, hallelujah, personal responsibility. Hallelujah. From every one of us that we ought to realize that, hallelujah, we're not here to warm a pew and we're not here to do nothing. Hallelujah. It is a fact that people are given various talents and various abilities. Hallelujah. You don't have to be, hallelujah, in competition with anybody else around you. Hallelujah. The one talented man didn't have to compete with the five talented men. It was just simply, hey, you need to get up from where you're sitting and get something done and be serious about the kingdom of God that you're a part of. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Could it be that, hallelujah, there's a child in the womb of every saint? Could it be that this good man was right when he made that statement? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Scripturally, hallelujah. Is there really going to be a great last day revival in our church and in churches around us? Hallelujah. Are we going to end this dwelling place? Hallelujah. Temporarily. Are we going to leave it and go to heaven or wherever we may go? Hallelujah. And not have great revival in this last hour. I do know that there is a revival of darkness. I know there's a revival of perversion and twistedness. I know there's a revival of ungodly, filthy things that blow your mind. Hallelujah. Some of the most unsuspected people, you see them falling into the darkness and the twistedness. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, the world is having a revival. Satan is having a revival. I believe we can have revival. I believe we can have the revival that counts. I believe God can give us more people than we can handle. Oh, I believe that God can give us so many babies that we just have to divide them out in other churches and other places. And hallelujah, because all God is promising us. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. I'll pour out my spirit upon your handmaidens, and they shall prophesy. Oh, I'm believing for revival. I'm believing for revival. I'm believing for revival. I don't want anything to abort this revival. I said, I don't want anything to abort this revival. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I believe that the scripture backs up that we're going to have a revival. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew chapter 20 and verse 1, if you can put that on the screen. Verse 1 through verse 6, real quick. Hallelujah. It tells us a parable. Hallelujah, about a man that purchased a vineyard. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Next verse. Hallelujah. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Next. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out on the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. There's something happening here. You see, he gets as many as he thinks he needs in the early morning, and he sends them out to do a job. And then somewhere in about the third hour, he goes to check on what's going on, and he realized, I've miscalculated the market. I've miscalculated the harvest. Hallelujah. Goes the sixth hour. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. He's calling for laborers. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. Here it is, the 11th hour. This is 1 hour from sundown, 1 hour from the working day to be over with. Hallelujah. This man is so pushed because of the harvest. He goes to the last group that in the 11th hour. He finds others standing there idle, and he says of them, why stand ye here all the day idle? Next verse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What in the reason? What's causing all of this? There's a harvest. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto this harvest. Hallelujah. I believe that we are living in the 11th hour. I believe that Jesus is about to come back. Hallelujah. This may be our last major shot. Hallelujah. To hit the target and have the revival that God wants us to have. I believe that the devil is shaking this world and darkness is everywhere. I also believe that there's a revival that has the power to shake our world. In fact, there's some places in the earth, in the world right now, that hundreds of people are getting the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. People that don't speak our language, people that it's against the law to be a part of this old-fashioned apostolic church, but yet they found their place, and there's Holy Ghost revival. Hallelujah. By the hundreds, literally by the thousands in some places. Hallelujah. I believe God wants to do it in Buford, Georgia. I believe he wants to do it in all of our daughter works. I believe he wants to shake the state of Georgia with Holy Ghost apostolic revival. Yes. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord wants to help us. I want to stay in defense, hallelujah, of something so serious in God's eyes. Hallelujah, it's worse than anything else that's happening in the world, and that is when a soul begins to make its way. It hears the voice of calling of salvation. Hallelujah, something inwardly begins to move on people's hearts. They don't even know how to explain it and what's going on. They end up right here walking down these aisles, hallelujah, feeling something that they never felt before. Hallelujah, that's where we need to be involved. We need to be on top of things. We need to be ready to help and assist. We need to have our eyes open and pray that God would give us spiritual eyes that we can see what to do and how to do it and how to facilitate, hallelujah, this great revival that God wants us to be in. Hallelujah. But we don't need anybody around here aborting the babies. We don't need anybody here frivolous and careless and unconcerned and just, you know, people get the Holy Ghost. So many of them, they get the Holy Ghost and they sit down. Hallelujah. On the day of Pentecost, they were sitting there and got the Holy Ghost and got up. Hallelujah. We need to start getting up instead of sitting down. Hallelujah. When God has given us the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is not just some kind of, hallelujah, it's not just some kind of certificate. Yeah, it's a birth certificate is what it is. Hallelujah. It's not a graduation diploma that you set down and you quit doing anything. You knew you kids that are having babies now and getting born and being born and married and all this kind of business. You need to wake up and rise. You know, there's a place for me to get involved in this.
Yes.
All of us need to be involved.
Yes.
Jesus, help me today. Hallelujah. There's some things that can abort revival. I want to tell you one thing we experience, it seems like, ever so often. Hallelujah. It's like when we started praying in the prayer room an hour early. I felt something different. I felt something changing. I felt something growing. Hallelujah. 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 I want to tell you, you don't want to abort that when you start something. Hallelujah. Some people get in the church ready to quit, and some people get in and get a little involved and they can't wait to quit. Hallelujah. We need to grab a hold of wherever we ought to be and do whatever we ought to be doing and have the revival that God wants us to have. Hallelujah. One spirit that don't need to be alive in this church is a careless spirit. We don't need to come waltzing in here. I want to tell you something. Just because you've had a hard day don't mean to find some place on the highest pew, hallelujah, and sleep half the service. Hallelujah. If God's given you the sweet Holy Ghost and you've been baptized in his name, he's delivered you from sin, you ought to realize I've got an investment. I ought to be doing something. I ought to be doing the right thing. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's careless. It's careless. Hallelujah, to see somebody come in this building for the first time and some of you folks walk by them, never say hello, kiss my foot or anything. God, wake us up. God, help us not to be careless. Hallelujah, help us to be serious. Hallelujah, years ago when a child was to be born, they had their children at home. Hallelujah. And so there was special care that was taken for the child that would soon arrive. Hallelujah. They wanted the floor scrubbed. They wanted the beds right. They wanted everything that needed to be cleaned up and put in place to be in place, because at any time the baby was going to come. Hallelujah. It was a time when, hallelujah, the mother said, boys, go get the water for me. I can't get it now. And hallelujah, you girls, wash the dishes for me. And hallelujah, he's fixing to come. We're fixing to have a bouncing baby boy or girl in our house. And so there was a spirit of carefulness. Hallelujah. That's right. We don't want to be careless. We don't want anything to make this little child sick. It's coming into the world and with an immune system that's going to have to develop. And we're not going to carry this baby just anywhere, just haul it around anywhere. We're going to be protectors of this child. We're not going to be careless and lose the baby. Hallelujah. Sometimes we're careless and lose the baby. I'll tell it on myself. I've told it before. I was in a revival in Oklahoma City. Hallelujah. And I went to pray one day, and as I was praying, all of a sudden, hallelujah, a man's face just popped up in my memory. Hallelujah. He was a Mr. Moore, Sam Moore. And he just came up, and I was praying, weeping, and when his face came before me, I began to pray for him. I didn't know what was going on. It had been years since I'd seen him. He never had been in the church, and one time had been in our house, but he popped up, and I began to pray, and the more I prayed, the more moved I was, and tears, and I prayed until I felt a release, And we had church that night, and the next day I didn't even think about him. And the next day I'm praying again, and all of a sudden, hallelujah, his face just pops up again, and I start praying, and I pray for him. And I done that again the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day. It was about a week and a half, I imagine. Hallelujah, that every time I'd pray, I wouldn't think about it any other time, but I'd start praying, and his face would come up, and I began to pray for him. And I just had a feeling, you know, something is going on. And I purposed in my heart, I said, you know, as soon as I close this revival and head back to Texas, I'm going to find this man and I'm going to see what's going on. And so finally the time came and closed that revival meeting and drove to Texas. And it was a fast switch around. I picked up some stuff and I was single at that time and was about to leave for another revival. And and all of this. And so anyway, I had one day to get all my stuff done and end up, I think it was in Mississippi. I got in Mississippi and we started revival, probably on a Tuesday or Wednesday night. And all of a sudden, on when Saturday came around, and I was praying, I began to pray. And anyway, the phone rang, and my mother was on the other end of the phone. And she said, "Do you know a man by the name of Sam Moore?" And as soon as she said that, I knew something terrible had happened. All of a sudden, the pieces come together. Hallelujah. The burden and the prayers and my promise to myself that I was going to go find him. But some way or another, it certainly wasn't on purpose, but it was carelessness on my parts that it just didn't come back into my mind. "Do you know Sam Moore?" And I said, well sure I know Sam Moore. His son went to school with me. And yes, and what about him? And she said what I feared that she would say. She said, "Sam Moore has passed away." I said, "What in the world was wrong with him?" I hadn't seen him in years. I said, "What in the world was wrong with him?" Said, "He's been eaten up with cancer and he died this morning." I want to tell you, I believe the Holy Ghost wants us, hallelujah, wants to help us to be at the right place at the right time. We can do nothing when we operate in the flesh. Oh, but if some way we could plug in and take this thing in careful hands and realize, "God, help me to stay on the cutting edge of what you want me to know and where I need to be. Hallelujah. I don't want to wander around and waste a whole day of my life doing nothing. Hallelujah. Lord God, don't let somebody that needs God have to come up to me and look me in the eye and say, do you go to church anywhere or what church you go to? God, help me to be sensitive." Hallelujah. When God puts somebody in my life that's talking about getting the Holy Ghost and I take them out to eat and go talk to them, and then in a day or two or three, all of a sudden, I forget them, and I'm driving along, and I wonder where they're at. Sometimes it's a week, sometimes it's 2 weeks. My God, that's the reason we need this program, hallelujah, that our sister is working with, a couple of our sisters or more than that, and trying to keep records on our visitors and try to keep records on what happened when they came to our church. I believe it is careless for us to allow them to come and weep and cry and pray and walk out and for us not to check on them for days and weeks. And oh, when I look at the stack of pictures that I've got in my office, I still go through some of the old ones. Hundreds of people that's come through this church and felt the glory and felt the power. People that have said, "I've never felt anything like this in a Pentecostal church." Hallelujah. God, help us as the mother. Help us as the body of Christ. Help us, oh God, not to be careless. Help us not to be careless, oh God, in Jesus' name. I want to tell you, it's revival time in 2017. If we're not careful, we're going to allow this year to slip through our fingers like it has in the past. God, help us to somewhere find an anchor to get a hold of something and get something done. It's time to have Holy Ghost revival. Yes. Hallelujah. Time of a child being born. We ought to be on our spiritual tiptoes. Hallelujah. When the doctor begins to deliver a baby, there's focus. Hallelujah. Everything's about the baby. Everything's about the birth. Hallelujah. Oh, we need to focus on what's happening around here. Hallelujah. We don't need to walk by somebody that inwardly is crying a silent cry. Oh, if somebody would help me, if somebody would show me a little attention, if somebody would show me how to get out of the situation that I'm in, help us, God, not to be careless. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And Luke, the 18th chapter, tells us a story of a woman and an unjust judge. Hallelujah, he had no respect for anybody, man or woman or child. Hallelujah, he had no respect for anybody. Hallelujah, he was a mean man. And this woman began to knock on his door. Hallelujah, she needed some help. She needed an answer. And the old judge, he wasn't interested in giving her an answer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got an adversary and I need an answer. And she began to knock, and she'd go by the next day and she'd knock, and she'd go back the next day and she'd knock, and she just kept on knocking. She just kept on knocking. I've got to have this. I'm not going to back down from this. And finally, the old judge said, it's not because I fear God or man. There ain't nobody I'm afraid of, but I can't stand this woman coming time and time and time again back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To get what she wants. I want to tell you, that's what we need to be when it comes to bringing the baby, hallelujah, alive and well into existence. There needs to be a determination. There needs to be a determination that we will not stop. We will not quit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't need to be careless in our living. We don't need to be careless in our language. We don't need to be careless in our attitude. Hallelujah. We need to remember that we are the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. We are the church. It's the only church that was born in the Bible. It was born on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. And so this is not a time for us to just be careless. You look at that area where I read about the law of the unborn. You'll find a law about throwing a stone. You don't just take a stone and throw it anywhere and think you're not responsible. It talks about digging a ditch, digging a pit. Hallelujah. You better be responsible for that pit if you dig that pit. Because it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us, Jesus. Another spirit of abortion that can get a hold of our church is a spirit of strife. Hallelujah, where we begin to strive with one another. A lot of times it's because of a desire for competition. Hallelujah, when we do things, we want to compare ourselves with other people instead of comparing ourselves with our own self. Hallelujah, we are not here for competition. We're not here to see who can be the best. Hallelujah, the disciples were asking Jesus when he was on the way literally to the cross to be crucified. They were asking each other and arguing about who is the greatest. Hallelujah, who is the greatest? Well, I'll tell you who the greatest is. Jesus is the greatest, and we're nothing. Hallelujah, there's nothing but what God would invest in us and allow us to have some talent that we're able to work with. Hallelujah, without him, we are nothing. We're a zero with a rim rubbed out. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23. Hallelujah, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thy gift before the altar. Go thy way. First be reconciled with thy brother, and then come and offer your gift. There's no sense in us trying to have a revival if there's a spirit of strife in every pew, and people are at each other's throat, and people are refusing to forgive other people. And I don't believe we got a house full of that, but I want to tell you, it don't take but one or two wars in a church to disrupt the birth of the baby. Hallelujah. It's a tragedy when people show themselves. Hallelujah. And somebody that don't know everything about what's going on around here says, hey, you know, I thought this was real what I felt, but they're just human beings just like us. God help me tonight. Psalms 119 and verse 165. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Hallelujah. I talked with somebody early this morning and last night late about a situation that don't amount to a bowl of beans. It's not even on my radar screen. Hallelujah. And they're about ready to give up on everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing shall offend them. Hallelujah. Well, thank God the Lord helped this individual. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't have time to mess with stuff that don't amount to nothing.
Right.
Hallelujah. We need to be quick to release people and forget it. Another thing is there's some people that ain't going to change. So don't get knocked out of the boat because of what somebody else is doing. Hallelujah. Quit striving. Hallelujah. You don't have any responsibility to shoot back at somebody that shot at you with your mouth. Hallelujah. Keep the peace.
Don't put gasoline on the fire. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Don't make something bigger than it is. Hallelujah. Try to reduce it instead of trying to build a bonfire out of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want strife to abort the baby. Hallelujah. Another spirit that can abort revival is worldliness. Worldliness. 1 John 2:15. Put that on the screen if you would. Hallelujah. Israel should have been in Canaan's land years before they arrived. But they had so much junk going on. It slowed down their progress. Hallelujah. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Hallelujah. If any man love the world, the world, love of the Father is not in him. Hallelujah. We can't fall in love with the world. Hallelujah. And take care of things. That shouldn't be our priority. Shouldn't be our priority. Hallelujah. Spirit of worldliness in people will push a pastor. At least they'll try to. Hallelujah. Can I do this? What's wrong with this? You mind if I go here? Well, why do you ask the question? Most things are black and white.
Right.
Hallelujah. Most of you know the answer before you ask it. You just want me to bend a little bit for you.
Right.
Hallelujah. Why should we spend all of our energy giving inch by inch?
Right.
Hallelujah. The territory to careless people. Hallelujah. There's some things that may be lawfully okay that's not expedient. Hallelujah. And when we're looking for a baby to be born, there, all of the things ought to be on the back burner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you compare things with things and, you know, well, you know, this ain't that bad. And so, you know, if we do this, well, why can't we do this? And so if we do that, why can't we do this? And if we do that, well, why can't we do this? And we end up in left field somewhere, so far away from the will of God in our life, because we're letting things that are questionable, we're letting things that are questionable control the direction we're headed in and what we're doing. Why in the world do you want to stay on the line instead of getting in the church? Go ahead and get in the church with all 4 feet.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, hello. We don't need any fence straddlers around here. We don't need anybody that can't make up in their mind if they want to live for God or not live for God. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, I've told an old story here. Hallelujah, about in the Civil War, there was a couple of guys, you know, this one guy, he couldn't decide whether he wanted to fight for the North or fight for the South. And he had fought for the North one day and fight for the South the next day. And he'd wear the North's uniform one day and the South's uniform the next day. And he got up in so much indecision. That's what some people are, you know, they're just full of indecision. He got up one day and he didn't know who he was going to fight for. So he put the North's coat on and the South's breeches on. And the North was shooting at his breeches and the South was shooting at his coat. That is the situation in so many churches that want to still have the power and the excitement, but they don't want to deal with sin. They don't want to deal with repentance, cleaning up. Hallelujah. Spend their hours sitting in front of a television set, letting Hollywood feed them the garbage. Hallelujah, that ought to make them throw up instead of reading their Bible and being in their prayer chamber. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't you just not do some of those things for the sake of the unborn? Instead of having some kind of explanation that is required and on and on and on and on and on. Hallelujah. And then sometimes you false advertise something. It act like it's just wonderful and fine, and is that okay? And then I find out later when I told you, well, go ahead, that it's not okay.
Right.
Why don't we just do it for the sake of the unborn?
Right.
If we're as close to eternity as we say we are, if we really believe Jesus is coming back, we ought to all be praying.
Right.
We ought to all be coming to church. We'll all be reaching for those that we love and those that we don't love. There ought to be a change in our very spirit. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Help us, oh, God. Another spirit that can abort revival is a spirit of unbelief.
Right.
And if that's one devil we need to cure in our heart, it's the demon of unbelief.
Right.
Hallelujah. Read it right out of the Bible and question it. Hallelujah. See it in the actions of those that are around you and question it. Hallelujah. Unbelief. Unbelief. We don't need unbelief. It aborted the revival that Jesus would have preached in Nazareth in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 58. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It aborted the revival. He said, I could not do many wonderful works because of their unbelief. Hebrews 3 and 19, Israel did not enter into Canaan because of their unbelief. The scripture tells us it was because of their unbelief. I'm glad that there were some that refused to be stopped. Hallelujah. They chose to believe. In fact, hallelujah, they made up in their mind. The rest of you can go back in the wilderness. The rest of you can die without hope. But as for me, hallelujah, Joshua and Caleb, hallelujah, they made up in their mind they was going to believe. And it didn't matter how old they are and how many years passed by, they found themselves in a predicament that was not their own making. Hallelujah, but I want to tell you, they held on to faith. Hallelujah, the promises came to pass. Hallelujah, God doesn't always operate according to our time frame. Hallelujah, He doesn't always operate according to our time X. Hallelujah, but when God makes a promise, we need to believe it and not question it. Hallelujah, we're headed toward revival. We're headed toward building a church out there. We're headed toward filling it up in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, we're headed toward miracle offerings. I want to tell you, we had a few miracles here this week. Hallelujah, according to the offerings. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God help us. Yes. Not to get in all of this and abort the baby.
Right, 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 right.
Hallelujah. I'll tell you when we're really going to need it. We're going to really need it when we're fighting to get that building up.
Yes,
and it's going to be a fight. It's not going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be a fight. Hallelujah. And I don't know anybody in the whole country that's trying to build a church that has less money than what we got. But it'll come around somewhere, unless some of you's hiding it somewhere. Maybe you're hiding it somewhere. I don't know. Hallelujah. I'm ready to lay everything I have on the line if that's the will of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, God will handle this thing. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Romans 3 and 3, for what if some did not believe? Did that make the word of God of none effect? God forbid. People chose when everybody else said we don't believe it. Hallelujah. It did not affect those that believed. Hallelujah. There's a parable about a traveler that came at midnight in Luke chapter 11. Tells the story of how he came. He knocked on the door of his friend. It was midnight. He was hungry. He didn't have any bread. So he called for this man to come to the door. And he said, I need some help. And anyway, hallelujah, he found out he didn't have any bread. But his neighbor had bread. So the Bible says that at midnight hour, he went and banged on the door of that man and his children. Hallelujah. He banged until he woke them up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He screamed and hollered and beat. Hallelujah. He tried to make a few excuses, but the guy wouldn't quit knocking. That's what we got to do. We got to just keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. Sometimes when you're knocking, it feels like you're 1,000 miles away from God. Don't trust it. Just keep on knocking. God hears the knock. I said, God hears the knock. And finally, hallelujah, he goes over and he starts arguing with his neighbor. You got the bread, get the door open. And he said, the children, they're asleep on the door. Hallelujah, you read about that in your commentaries and you'll find out that that's exactly what they done. Hallelujah, when they wanted to close the house for the night, they laid something over the door that they went in. And they laid on the door where nobody could get in. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to tell you, we're in a dreary world. We're in a weary world. We're in a dark world. Hallelujah. There's people that are weary in their journey. They're looking for bread. They're looking for somebody that's got the answer. Hallelujah. It's not just the common bread of life, but it's the bread of everlasting life.
Hallelujah. I want us to have our cupboards full. I want us to be on top of things. Hallelujah. Let's start praying right now toward, hallelujah, next Sunday night, next Sunday morning. Hallelujah. The coming Thursday night. Hallelujah. The prayer meetings that we're going to have. Let's accelerate things. Let's get hungry like we've never been in all of our life. I don't want to be the one that brings about an abortion. I don't want to be the one that kills something in somebody's heart when they're excited and they're enthused and they're ready to do something.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I've seen revivals being aborted. That's right. Right in the middle of a revival. Hallelujah. Come up against a wall. People have to decide whether they want to tear the wall down or they want to just compromise. I run into that in revivals. I was going to tell you the name of the city, but I'll tell you the name of the state. It was Texas. And we were in a revival, and there was all kinds of stuff, unbelievable stuff, from the top to the bottom of that church and its leadership. Hallelujah. I had been fasting for 10 days, 7 days, and I shouldn't even said that. I didn't just come out for a thought. But I was praying, and anyway, I won't get into it. But this one of these demons entered to my room. I want to tell you, they can sure make a good showing. Hello, they can sure make a quick disappearance too. I have never met one yet that didn't disappear when I said, "In the name of Jesus Christ." That's exactly right. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I'm not devil hunting tonight. I'm not here to try to stir up an argument with the devil. But I want to tell you, hallelujah, the name of Jesus can handle the devil. That's right. Hallelujah. And at the closing of that revival meeting, I told them that the measure of that revival, the result of that revival, would be measured in the people that died. The people that died. And I knew there was going to have to be a death to have a revival in that church. I left that city. The following camp meeting, somebody came up to me. I'll tell you who it was. It was the pastor of the church. He said, "Do you remember what you said?" He said, "Ever since the revival, every week, we've buried somebody out of our church. For the last 7 weeks, we've buried 7 people." I want to tell you, they were abortionists. That's right. I don't want to abort the baby. I want us to help each other. Give each other people. Give each other slack when things right. Maybe not said properly, maybe misunderstood.
Right.
Even when somebody may be upset, hallelujah, you need to deal with it with a forgiving spirit and a restorational spirit. Hallelujah! We don't need a bunch of flack and a bunch of problems and a bunch of striving and a bunch of anger. And I don't believe our church is known for that. But I want to tell you, we're not just wanting to have a little bit of revival. We want the whole pie. We want everything that God has for us. Hallelujah. Help me, oh God, in my preaching not to abort a baby. Oh God, help us all to find our place in the scheme of what you're doing, Lord. In Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh God, help us to get things cleaned up so you can come, Lord. Oh, God, where you can bring us revival, God. I pray in Jesus' name that godly sorrow would come, hallelujah, to our lives where we quickly and honestly repent. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We need the kind of repentance that when you so-called repent, you don't look back at the past
and just kind of, you know, vacillate over, oh, if I could go back, I just don't know if I can. You need a godly sorrow that you hate the sin that you was committing, the fornication, the perversion, the ungodliness. It's not going to be enough to say, I'm so sorry, and cry, and you're crying because you got caught. You're crying because something is not real nice in your life. It ought to go beyond that. It ought to go to a place that godly sorrow gets a hold of you. I'm out of here, and I'm never going to go back to that again. I don't want that again. I hate, I despise my past and what I've done. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. You folks need to claim the victory. You've had victory for days now and weeks. You claim it. You don't walk, you don't want to say, well, I just don't know if I'm going to make it or not. You know, I don't know. Now you need to get over that. Hallelujah, and thank God and praise God and speak faith. You also need to not put yourself in a bad predicament. Don't put yourself in a bad place. Don't run with people that are messed up in their mind. Hallelujah, you need to cut things. You need to cut ties with all things. There's something being born in you. There's something being born in you that don't need to be aborted. Oh, shatayalabahaya. Just stand and call out on God tonight. God help us, Lord. Help us, oh God, be thorough with what we're doing. Help us, oh God, to get down, hallelujah, to brass tacks, God. Help us not to hide anything in our heart. Oh God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, you've got to respond to the opposer, the opponent. Hallelujah, you got to make up in your mind, I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to do that that's wrong. I've got too much ahead of me. Hallelujah, and I want to focus every day. Hallelujah, on this wonderful life, this beautiful life. How many can raise your hands and say that the best times of my life is when I'm right with God and there is no condemnation? Hallelujah. I want to warn our young people, don't put confidence in the flesh. Hallelujah. Some of you hanging around the mall too much. You don't need to hang around the mall a lot. Too much going on around the mall. That's where the little druggies get their stuff sometimes. That's where people meet each other at the mall. Now, I'm not preaching against the mall as far as going there, but to make it a habit and get involved in all those. You need to go get what you need to get and get out of there. Oh, you're an old fogey. No, I'm a wise man. Yes. I know what I'm talking about. Yes. Hallelujah. You put confidence in your flesh and confidence in what you're going to do. You'll fall on your face. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's going to help us unbelievably when we got a bunch of testimonies here, recent testimonies of some of you that's recently come in and got the Holy Ghost and prayed through. That you're still just trucking. Hallelujah. You don't need a patch. You don't need a crutch. You don't need something to help you, somebody to beg you. Hallelujah. Down the road somewhere, you may have a little pity party once in a while, but it'll just show you that Jesus is always on board. It doesn't matter what's happening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to defend the unborn, don't you? Hallelujah, that little baby that those needles was going into, everything on the inside of me, I wanted, oh God, if I could get that baby out of that situation. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you, Jesus, for your mercy and grace and goodness. God, you've been good to me, Lord. God, you've been so good to me. You've been so merciful. I love you, God. I thank you, God. Over 40-something years of preaching, I still love you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sometimes I get a little disrupted, confused. Hallelujah, but I love you, Jesus. I want to be a part of this revival. I want every one of us to be a part of this wonderful revival, God. Help us not to miss the mark, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and praise Him. Let's love Him. Oh, we love You today, God. God, let us be a chosen vessel. We don't have to compete with others. It may be one talent, but if we can double it, hallelujah, it's just the same thing that the other one's done. I thank You, God, for giving me an opportunity to be in this city, God, to be in this pulpit, God. Help me, oh God. Bless this beautiful church, Lord. Bless our sweet visitors here tonight, God. I'm so glad they're here. Oh, Jesus. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord, we give You thanks. We give You thanks and glory. Hallelujah. We love You. 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 Hallelujah. 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 In closing tonight, I'd just like to express my appreciation for our graduates this year. Appreciate these graduates that have lived pleasing before the Lord.